Welcome to Criminal Thinking Deterred with Tony Moore, where we explore strategies, programs, and people who work to change the destructive thinking that leads to criminal behavior. In this podcast, Tony speaks with Mike Williams from Wisconsin Community Services on how we can aid others in community and jails.
Hello, I'm Tony Moore, and welcome to another Criminal Thinking Deterred. Here we talk about how to take responsibilities for your decisions, stop hurting people, begin ministering to others, and end the criminal thinking that deters everyone. I'm here with my producer, Philip Day, for another fresh podcast. Today, my guest will be Mike Williams from Wisconsin Community Services. He was one of the individuals responsible for me developing and learning as much as I did about criminal thinking. I've once worked for Mike at Kenosha County Detention Center, and we did the criminal thinking program in his function as program coordinator for the Kenosha County Detention Center. Mike also is a good friend and spiritual brother. We talk often about how we can help and aid others in our communities and in our jails with the ability to use the criminal thinking program. Welcome, Mike, and welcome to Criminal Thinking Deterred.
How you doing? I'm good. Good to see you, Tony. Thank God for letting me do this. It's always good to see you.
Yes. I first want to start out by asking, when you did the criminal thinking program back at the Kenosha County Detention Center, who were the players in the beginning that helped you understand what criminal thinking was?
Well, the main player was yourself. You introduced me to the criminal thinking model, those 12 components. And it really revolutionized the way that I did programming. I had been doing programming prior to that with juveniles at Ethan Allen. And I had thought of some of those concepts, but I had never been introduced to it. And so primarily, it was yourself who introduced me to the criminal.
Okay. And as a component of helping others using the errors in thinking or criminal thinking program, why is learning to detach from enablers important for offenders or people that's dealing with this model? Why is it important for them to detach?
So the importance, as you know, is to be able to take that ownership. In order to heal, the first step is taking ownership of what we've done, what we've thought, and what we've acted on. In order for men to do that, they have to examine those criminal thinking errors and to see where they got off track. So the most important thing, and going forward, no matter what programming you're going to offer them, is that they need to look at that criminal thinking errors. They need to be able to identify where they are, so that they can detach themselves not only from the thinking and from the error, but from anybody, an enabler, whether that be a family member, friend, what have you, to move away from that thinking pattern and to adopt a new thinking pattern.
Okay. When you talk about take accountability or move away, the five deterrents are the basics of the errors in thinking: to stop and think of the immediate consequences to self, stop and think who gets hurt, the reasoning process, and plan ahead, think ahead, make another choice. Number four being examination of conscience, taking a moral inventory daily, and number five, don't dwell on it. Of all those deterrents, which one did you find was the most important in delivering the criminal thinking program?
The one that always stood out to me and still stands out to me is the think ahead, plan ahead, make different choices. To me, that really means that you take ownership of your thinking and your behavior. It's an active, engaging type of way to live life. So one of the blessings of history is it allows me to plan ahead with myself with those that I'm in relationship with, and even with my behavior. And so I can look, a man can look at what he's done in the past and begin to plan ahead to consider who got hurt, what were the consequences, you know, certainly not to dwell on it, but to use that reasoning process to move ahead to say, I no longer want to behave in that manner. And then to be able to think ahead. Then if I don't want to behave in the old manner, the old criminal thinking, what is it that I want to do? That's a very powerful and empowering thing. Because a lot of us were controlled by other people, by environments or belief systems or other people. So when I intentionally think ahead, I'm taking ownership of my life. And then it allows me to open that door to make different choices, to make different decisions. And when we introduce that, as you know, to men, they actually feel empowered, much like you and I both did.
Yes. You often talk about the trauma on both sides for the perpetrator and the victim. And when you're talking about trauma to a perpetrator, what are you really saying as it relates to criminal thinking?
So it goes back to one of those five steps is to think about who gets hurt. And so what perpetrators often do not want to do is, number one, take ownership of their action. And number two, evaluate the impact of their actions on others. And so if it's a domestic violence situation, if it's a what have you, a property situation where property was taken, men need to take a look at the impact of their behavior, which we call trauma, on others. And then that allows for a conversation to talk about the trauma that's impacted them. Instead of asking the question, you know, what did you do? We can move to the question of then what happened to you, which then leads us to why they did what they did. And so the trauma piece, you know, you and I use that to try to get men to look at what they've done, not their intent. You know, there's that intent and impact. So I might intend to do good, but the impact of my behavior may be negative. And so I need to always be evaluating the intent and impact as it relates to trauma and it relates to myself and to others.
Yeah, I see that. And when you talk about viewing self as a good person, to continue to do harm to oneself or to harm to other people, you have to have a belief system or value that says, I'm not so bad and I'm not doing so much harm to other people. And the errors in thinking, criminal thinking components have you to look at that and say, well, first of all, stop and think of the immediate consequences to think that thing through. We often called it play the tape through. Do an analytical thing or analyze what behavior has caused you or caused your community or someone else. And being a perpetrator myself for many years before I got the understanding of how to process my own thinking, I often didn't even consider the harm to myself or the harm to other, which is trauma on both sides, because now you're stuck in your thinking. And once you get stuck, you need role models or people to give you examples to say, can you teach me a better way or show me a better way through some role plays or through someone actually living out that model of thinking and showing you the different things that you should do. So as a model, how important is role modeling or mentoring in those positions for others to do for the guys who are struggling?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. And so going back to your point of viewing self as a good person, that is the psychological side of trying to, you know, figure out and minimize the impact of the trauma I've caused on others. I want to view myself as a good person. And what happens when we do that is that we give ourselves permission to actually harm ourselves and to harm others. And that permission is a psychological thing. As you know, once you give yourself permission, you can simply act. where other people would question, why would I do this? Once we give ourselves permission, we can act. And so that comes from the trauma often that has happened to us. And so we need role models to show us how to do life differently. This is where you are so tremendously effective in the jail, because you could speak to the men to say, I once was sitting in your very seat, and now I'm here to help you. I own my own business. I've gone back to school. That role modeling of someone who has given themselves permission at one point to harm themselves and others, then retracted that permission based on the knowledge that I now no longer view myself as a good person based on my old behavior. I've either had a spiritual awakening or I've had a mentor, as you just talked about, that took me, my thinking, to a different level and modeled this behavior for me.
Exactly. When you're talking about going from a pro-social lifestyle, and you're saying, okay, I'm a 5-time convicted felon, 6-time victim felon, I've done 18 years. And when you start pointing out how, if you practice, whatever you practice, you become. If you practice criminal behavior, you're going to become a more better, per se, criminal. If you play basketball and you shoot free throws, you get better at it by practicing it. So you have to teach or model the behavior that says, okay, I learned from my mistakes by looking at, I'm not getting the results that I want from these same behaviors. It's not changing. Unless I change the behavior, I can't change the results. And one of the things about criminal thinking is, once you start having someone that can help you understand the model of your behavior and say, well, okay, you don't do burglaries no more, but you sell dope. It's the same kind of dysfunctional behavior that gets you the same kind of results of doing time. So once you start realizing, or someone starts pointing out to you that the whole negative behavior has to change, and if you're able to do those kind of behaviors, you're definitely able to do pro-social behaviors by practicing good stuff. If you can practice bad stuff, you can practice good stuff. So when you're working with the guys, and when we have left as the facilitators and we leave the agency or leave the jail, your advocacy and interaction with them is big, because that helps them to practice with an authority figure whom they may deem as a threat, to get some kindness and get some understanding of, there are people in authority positions that care. So I thought that was very powerful, that you've been in that position. So my question would be, as a person of faith, how is that important to carry the message to your inmate population about you can change? How do you empathize with that?
Faith is absolutely critical, right? And so when we're talking about faith, what we're actually talking about is a spiritual environmental change. In other words, the way we look at life has totally changed. And so that environmental conditioning is what has to change. Involved in that environmental conditioning, in other words, the way we were brought up. I was brought up in a family that struggled with alcohol. And so there are a number of alcoholics in my family. And so I was conditioned that drinking was okay, that it wasn't harmful, that this is how you live life. And so when I had a spiritual awakening, that environmental conditioning changed. I realized that alcohol was detrimental. And so when we introduced this concept to men, that if you want to take control of your life, you have to look at not only your physical body, your soul, but your spirit as well. We're three parts, as you well know. And so that environmental change, having a mentor to take you into that next level to say, how did Tony Moore change? What did he do? And so sharing with them, reprogramming really your belief system to the Word of God is absolutely critical. And so this is a very empowering thing for men. Now, of course, not every man wants to do that and make that decision. But as a part of the healing process, it has to be a tool that is offered to them. So faith then becomes about really what you want to do in the future. Okay, guilt is about what happened in the past. And so faith allows one to admit what they did in the past that was harmful, that it may have been traumatic to them and others. But faith then comes in and says, what is it that I want to do today? And what is it that I want to do in the future? What do I want to be known as going forward? And so faith becomes the fuel for that.
That's powerful. When you come into a higher power or higher self of awareness or knowledge from what the criminal thinking program gives you, it gives you an elevated sense of self and awareness to outside forces. And when you learn that it's not a religious thing that moves you, it's more of a belief and confidence and understanding a model that teach you or shares with you an internal focus of locus and says, okay, I know I can because I have the tools that helps my thinking. Being a person who practiced that behavior for 35 of my first years of my life without thinking things through, now that I'm able to think things through, I have a better understanding that just because I think it doesn't mean I have to practice it. And when the criminal thinking comes about and it starts making you examine or analyze that behavior, it helps grow the whole person. And I like what you said when you said spiritual body and mind. The college that I went to, Springfield College, that's a part of their logo. And they teach from that critical thinking to make you a better critical writer on the stuff that you do in life. And that critical thinking freed me to make me say, okay, business is a possibility. Being a good husband, good, and being a good dad is a possibility, because now since I think better, I can do better. So when you think about your legacy as a program coordinator, program developer, and I've seen some of the things that you have developed over the course of the last 15 years from your training and from your experience, some of the high-powered stuff that helped free men to believe in themselves. What do you see as your legacy? What do you see as the thing that you like to give back to this human service side of your field?
Well, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing I want to give back is that we need to put the human back in human service. And so people like yourself, when I intersected with you in 1998, it revitalized me. I had actually become kind of cynical about systems, having worked in the Department of Corrections for a number of years. And so your approach, your fresh faith, you were in progress of change, revitalized me. And that's what I would like to leave. I would like to bring that criminal thinking concept, those 12 components into programs, because it acts as a mirror for men and women. But, you know, we're talking about men today, to actually affect the change. And so when they get confronted with the 12 criminal thinking errors, they can then begin to see where they got off track. And the majority of healing is not high psychological process. It's very basic understanding of who I am, you know, where am I from, where am I trying to get to, that level of clarity. And so what I want to do is really try to bring that criminal thinking concept into every program that I am involved with and everything I do. And hopefully that will be my legacy, that it'll become so familiar in Southeast Wisconsin that as people write programs and think about programs, that that will always be a basis which they'll function.
Thank you. You know, because of your influence on my life and all the things that you have motivated me to do as far as even being an author and writing the books, and I like to extend to our audience an opportunity. I happen to write two books. One is My Design Purpose, The Success of the Four P's, where I use the foundation for the criminal thinking to develop my four P's, which were praying, planning, performance, and patience. And out of it came a pretty instrumental book for ex-offenders or anyone who's struggling with life that can use a book to get out of some of the ruts that we get in as humans. And then there's a devotional book that I wrote, and it was Freedom, Finding Peace While in the Midst of the Storm. And both of the books are on Amazon, and our producer, Phil, will leave you the book name, and you go on and Amazon and check out the books and see if you could use them in your own programs. Or you can give me a call at 262-605-1444. Email me. We also have an email address you're welcome to use, and that's tmoore, M-O-O-R-E, at moreandassociates.biz. If you also, we have a website, www.moreandassociates.biz, that you're welcome to call at any time or go on the website and see other services that we provide. We also provide assessments, groups, individual sessions, other services for parenting. We do coping skills, job readiness skills. Well, we also network with individuals just so that they can have a connection and a support in the street that they can use once they come home or come out of treatment programs. But we want you to always remember, God designed you for a purpose, to serve Him and others. And you know that you must continue to have a blessed day. And we will be bringing you other shows. Stay tuned. And I'd like to thank my guest, Mike, and my producer, Phil, for being a part of this with me. God bless.
This episode of Criminal Thinking Deterred was sponsored by Moore & Associates in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Call us at 262-605-1444. Or email tmoore at moreandassociates.biz. Moore & Associates offers assessments, intensive outpatient, aftercare, alcohol and drug abuse addiction treatment, gang prevention, and other services. Tony is also available for speaking engagements and professional consultations. Come back soon for our next episode, and please remember, lifestyle changes begin in the mind. Parlor scared and trim, but soon it was too late. His blood turned on him, just as the odds had once betrayed. He missed the years.